Morning, everyone. I felt a bit like a magician there, producing all these things out of the bag. Yes, the Manger King. Yes, we do glorify him, don't we? That's brilliant, that song. We have a very talented church family here. Right, morning. I hope you were here last week. No? Well, Dave produced a very challenging sermon on the normal church. Apologies from all of us, because due to some malfunction, a lead was unplugged on the PA system. So unfortunately, there's no recording of it to put on the church website. And apparently that happened for the sermon previous week as well. And then Dave hunted around to find out why his tape was blank and discovered that a lead was unplugged. So, sorry about that. So, for those of you who haven't heard it, in essence, he was preaching from Acts 2 on what should be normal activity in the church today. And for quite some time, I've been led to thinking about what is normal in the world today and how we, the church, should respond to the world's view of life today. And during that talk last week, it really came to me that there is some really meaty scripture about that sort of thing in Paul's second letter to Timothy. I'm going to use the NIV, the Message, and the Word on the Street. So apologies in advance if some of the scripture you hear doesn't match your version. But sometimes it's a little, makes people listen a bit more when you hear it in a different way. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And this is from the Word on the Street. And Paul says, "Don't say, 'I didn't warn you.' Before it all gets wrapped up, there'll be some ugly stuff flying around. People will have multiple love affairs with themselves, with money. They'll be cocky, arrogant, and mouthy. They'll ignore their parents. Thanks won't be in their vocab. They'll fit in with the rest of the polluted hate culture. They'll only bother to talk if it's malicious. They'll only get off their backsides for a good scrap. Good things give them the creeps. They jump ship when it suits them. They do whatever when it suits them, and they're so full of themselves, they can't take any criticism on board. They'll love the next high more than God. They'll go through the motions of religion, but it will be unplugged. God's power will be off at the mains. Don't waste your time on them." It's a bit harsh, do you think? Right. The same verses in the Message start off with, "Don't be naive." And according to the dictionary, naivety is over-innocence or amusing simplicity. That can be a good thing sometimes, that we are innocent. But in other ways, it's not so good. If we're not really aware of what's going on, then we don't know how to respond to it. Watch out, Paul says. Today's church often seems unaware of its acceptance of some of today's normal behaviour and thinking, even to the extent of authorising or blessing behaviour which God says and Scripture tells us is sinful. Sometimes the church seems to go along with things because they are normal or modern or in tune with today's thinking. And at other times, when the church does challenge wrong thinking or behaviour, it's criticised for being out of date, out of touch, or worst of all, in some eyes, meddling in politics. Jesus was one of the greatest meddlers in politics that there has ever been. Not party politics, but the politics of life. How we do things, what we do, why we do it, and so on. So I'm going to repeat Paul's words again from the Message. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Right. If you read that again, in whatever version you've got, you could even interpret that as only referring to the religious people, because it does suggest that some people that are doing this have some form of belief. How does it say that in here? No. Right, I can't see it at the minute, sorry. But it does actually almost say that in the NIV. Or the quote is, they have a form of godliness, but denying its power. So you get people who say, this is good, this is right, this is modern, this is up to date, and of course it must be okay with God. But when you actually get into the scripture and read, it doesn't actually say that. We've got to be very careful not to slide into any of those sort of beliefs or behaviours. Because Satan is just waiting to get us. And I know I do that. I'm sure everyone here has done that in the past, or at the present even, you know, there's this little voice inside saying, yeah, well, you know, that's not too bad. That's all right. Oh, well, God loves us, so, you know, if we do a bit, that won't matter. But that's Satan talking to us. That's what he said to Eve, wasn't it? Did God really say that? So, as soon as we become aware of any tendencies or temptations in any of those directions, and I've read the lists in two different versions, so if you're worried, read it again to make sure you know which ones we're talking about. We need to pray it away. I've heard several people here preaching and saying, you know, remember the name of Jesus is all powerful. Keep repeating his name. That will move these things away. If we're feeling too weak, then ask trusted friends or the elders or your house group leaders to pray for you or with you. You know, don't let it get you, because there's so much of that around today. You know, oh, it must be all right because this, that and the other. As human beings, we seem to be brilliant at making excuses for doing the wrong thing. So be aware, that is the normal world. Now, I get into trouble sometimes at home because I say, oh, well, everybody does that, or everybody thinks that, or that's normal, same as what everybody else does. And then Penny goes, actually, when we're Christians, we're called to be different. So don't do it like that. We're called to be in the world and not of the world. It's very important to remember this when the normal world says this or that's acceptable or unacceptable, or even passes laws to allow or disallow things which are contrary to God's instructions in the Bible. Now, you know, I'm not going to be controversial, but we all know what we're talking about. There's lots of different things, you know. You can pass any number of laws saying this is the law, but it doesn't make it right, doesn't make it what God says about it. And we are called to be different. So we need to be prepared to stand up for what it says in the book. If you're not sure about something or how you should stand on it, that's where the elders come in. You know, we have our elders who can advise you. It's also something that you can do in a house group with the house group leaders, or even discuss it in a house group. And we hopefully are mature enough as Christians that we can discuss these things and even not necessarily agree with each other without acrimony or anything like that. And if you're not a believer at the moment, it's time you made a decision. I don't know if there is anybody like that here, but I'll repeat what Teresa said earlier. You know, come and see us afterwards and we'll pray with you and we'll talk to you. It's vital that Christians are aware of where God draws the lines, because he's never out of date or out of touch, and he's the same for eternity. If you didn't quite get it when you read the Old Testament, Jesus and the apostles all make it clear in the New Testament. It's all there in the book. So I'm now going to read further on from 2 Timothy 3, and this time from the NIV, from verse 10, where Paul instructs Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And don't think you've got away with it because you're ladies. It means ladies as well. It means anybody of God. So, everybody all right with that?
Yeah,
well. Oh, yeah? Everybody's understood it? Well, it's really important that we do, because I believe the words of Paul, though they were written to Timothy, who was a young church leader, approximately AD 66, 67, so a couple of thousand years ago, they're completely relevant and appropriate for us today, whether we're in leadership or just parts of the flock. to the message. Same thing in slightly different version. Keep the message alive. You've been a good apprentice to me, a part of my teaching, my manner of life, direction, faith, steadiness, love, patience, troubles, sufferings, suffering along with me and all the grief I had to put up with in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra. And you also well know that God rescued me. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the faith, and they're as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they're out there, things can only get worse. Don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why, you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So, look at all the things that Paul lists as being normal in living the Christian life. There's teaching, there's the manner of your life, the direction of your life, your faith, your steadiness, your love, your patience, your troubles, and your sufferings. Huh? What? Everything's supposed to be easy when you're a Christian, isn't it?
No?
Good. Right, we are understanding. Yes. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble, and there's no getting around it. Jesus often said the same thing when he was teaching his disciples, didn't he? There's any number of bits where he said that. You know, take up your cross. Yeah, well, you don't take up a cross if you're not going to get trouble. But don't let it faze you. Okay, back to the NIV again. Where are we? Continue in what you have learnt and become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I know I keep repeating these things, but it's just so important that we remember that. Have I left anyone behind? Good. Next, we'll get some instructions which should directly influence how we proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So, back to the NIV again, to chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Really clear? Mm-hmm. No more to be said? Well, I think there's lots more to be said, because we don't always understand or follow the instructions properly, do we? Make no mistake, Paul intends these to be instructions. We go back to verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. That's really heavy. You know, he's really making the point that this is what we're expected to do. Now, we're not all young ministers of churches by any means, but we need to be looking at this. We need to be living in this way, especially in these times when we are in a minority, a very small minority in this country, unfortunately. In other countries, the church is growing massively. But if we, you know, if we're not proclaiming, no one's going to. This is the charge, it's imperative, it's foundational to preaching. And in the same way to evangelism. Okay? And evangelism is simply proclaiming the gospel. And it doesn't matter whether you're standing up here, talking in Bucky Doo, or chatting over a cup of tea, or a pint in the pub. What it's all about is bringing the good news to those who haven't heard it, or those who haven't listened to it. Most people in this country may have heard it. Very difficult. I'm of an age where you would have been guaranteed to have heard it in school. And I was fortunate enough to be sent to Sunday school. But as you can see from the room, you know, there's an awful lot of people who probably didn't hear it in school. And the children now, very few of them come to Sunday school. So we have to find other ways of communicating it. It's the power of Jesus to lift the burden of sin from our shoulders, or comfort us in suffering, bringing light and sight to our blindness. If there is anyone here who hasn't turned to Jesus yet, do it today. Don't leave it. It will be too late if you don't do it. And come and pray with us at the front after the service if any of you feel that way. Let me read that again from the word on the street. Okay, this is big. I'm writing this with God and the Liberator Jesus looking over my shoulder. He'll give the thumbs up or down to everyone, alive or dead, when he shows up and sets up God's new world. I'll tell you this, communicate what God says. I don't care if you feel like it or not, or if they're responding or not. Just do it. Correct people if they're out of line. Tell them off when they know it. Build them up if they don't. Do it because you care. Do it for the long haul. Pretty soon they won't want to know about good life coaching. Nope. They'll scan and surf until they find people who tell them exactly what they want to hear. And then they'll turn up the volume. Truth will be drowned out by ocean loads of theory, wave after wave of trendy new ideas. But not you. No, keep your head on straight. Tough it out through the hard times. Work at your communication. Go down the checklist of your job description and make sure it's all being seen to. So he's given him all these instructions, and now he's saying, you've got to keep going, keep it up. I feel sometimes that these sort of things hit home harder when they're in, sometimes in today's language. Doesn't reduce the value of the more traditional scripture, because that's, you know, the NIV, the Authorised, they are out and out what hundreds and thousands of scholars have actually determined is scripture. But these versions just tend to turn it up a bit. Paul's message is clear to Timothy. It's clear to me, I hope, and I hope it's clear to you. We are instructed to correct, rebuke, and encourage. I've made a little note here. When we're doing this, it's not an instruction to be directly personal. Okay, if you're standing in Bucky Doo and you say, you've all done something wrong, we're all sinners, so come to Jesus to get forgiveness, that's fine. Don't walk up to somebody and go, you have done this. All right? I have heard that that has gone on. If you've had the word from God, you've had a word of knowledge for a particular individual, then that obviously is different. And I have met a number of people and heard a number of people speaking. We've had some people here who have had direct words of knowledge from God about a particular person, even in a congregation where they've actually been directed to point them out. But, you know, that doesn't happen all that often. And when it does, I'm sure you'll be very certain that it's happened. But yeah, the message is we've all got it wrong. We've all fallen short, and we all need the help of Jesus to get us back to where we should be. We've got to do this however we feel, and whether people respond or not. And then he says, watch out, because the time will come when people only hear what they want to hear. A little bit more from in here, from the message. You're going to find there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy options that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on the truth and chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. And do a thorough job as God's servant. And I hope that that is what we're all doing. Watch out. The time is here. All this stuff is going on now. You know, you can look at parallels for what it was like in Greece and the Roman Empire, Egypt in the days when Paul was writing these letters, but it's no different in this country today. People follow all sorts of teachings, they get spiritual guidance from all over the place, they follow gurus, you know, the latest person who's got the knowledge. There's a fashionable trend for whatever, and they chase after that. New age thinking and pick and mix religion, yes, we like that bit. So we'll have a bit from the Christians, we'll have a bit from the Buddhists, we'll have a bit from the Hindus, we'll have something from somewhere else, put it all together, and oh yeah, that's easy, I can do that. There will be trouble. You are a Christian, and it's not easy. Okay. Just as out of interest, how many of you actually know people who do that, pick out all these bits and live by bits? Only one, two, three, four. Well, think about it when you talk to your friends and that, you know, there are a lot more people that do it than we think. You know, you read it in the paper, ah, well, you know, Christianity is all about love. That's it, end of. Well, it is, in some ways, the love that Jesus showed, the love that God showed, sending Jesus, the love that he showed by dying for us. But there's a bit more than that. You know, there are rules that we have to live by. God gives us the rules because we'll be better. We'll have better lives. The people we know will have better lives if we follow the rules. Yeah. People who pick out the bits they like or feel comfortable with, and that involves them in a lot of ineffective lifestyle choices, as they call it now. And above all, don't have a challenge to your current thinking or way of life. That's, in essence, why there is resistance now to the gospel in this country. Because people don't like being told that they're not doing it right. We're arrogant in some ways. We're prideful. You know, I can be a bit proud at times, and, you know, I've often said to myself, you know, I believe that it is brilliant that there is God who is better than us. If you're a humanist, you know, how can you live thinking that man is the best there is? That there's nothing above that? It just, I don't know, it defies logic to me, but there we are. Paul's instructions to Timothy are a challenge for all of us. What do we do with our faith? And I know I've mentioned this before, and a lot of people said they hadn't heard it before. God wants the church to be a lifeboat station, not a yacht club. So we're here to go out and rescue people. We're not here to sit in our cosy little things having a cup of tea or a drink. Unless you're evangelising the people you're with. Then you can do it. So don't get comfortable on the Sunday morning session in church, but challenge yourself to communicate the gospel during the rest of the week. As I said earlier, you can do that by being a friend. Looking out for those who need help. Maybe doing some preaching. Maybe joining the outreach events which we run. Or by becoming a committed prayer warrior. I know we've got a few of those in the church. You know, these are all important. And summing up, just repeat what we've heard. Proclaim the message with intensity. Accept hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive and do a thorough job as God's servants. Run the race to the finish so that you receive the prize. And that quote that Jesus actually used in a parable when God says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." That's the prize. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that I fall short a number of times with these instructions that we have from Paul. They're instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples as well. It comes direct from you. Pray for all of us, Lord, that when we know you and we love you, that we'll follow what you've asked us to do. That we will be bold in telling other people in whatever way you have gifted us to do, but that we will tell. That we will be bold in standing up for your rules when the normal world says, no, this is the way we should do things. Pray for those people that speak out and get arrested. We pray that you will protect them, Lord, and give them continued courage to carry on speaking out as long as it's in accordance with your word. We pray that we will accept the challenge. We pray for those three families that Dave has talked about, that we wish to come and join this church this year. Lord, we ask for more than that, more. We just want people to come. Because we've got the good news and they need to have it. We pray for the week to come, Lord, that you will give all of us the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.